All right, wrapping up the topic of Sa'ah B'Sa'ah. Last week we spent time on the term of Sa'ah B'Sa'ah. First we had talked about the previous week, the idea that you can only convert the commodity into currency, the Asa'ah Danan. Last week we talked about doing small quantities, Davar Mu'at, and Yeshlo, allowing Sa'ah B'Sa'ah, where the guy who is borrowing has the stuff, or even has some small percentage of the stuff, and maybe even has money with which he could buy the stuff. We said that was a reach. But we gave those heterim. This week we want to focus on the heter of Yatzah Hashar. Which comes to us not originally from anything that looks like Sa'ah B'Sa'ah, but Rashi says from the Mahag that it is Sa'ah B'Sa'ah. It's a Mishnah and Gemara and I'm basing the base. I brought it for you on the sheets on source Memhei. Mishnah says, Ein poskin al haperos ad sheyatza or sheyetze hashar. You're not allowed to buy produce where you say to somebody, I'm giving you money now in order to take delivery of the produce later on, until there is a shar, until there is a price. Yatza shar poskin. Once the shar comes out, once you have a price, then you're allowed to do it. The fear in the case of poskin al haperos, which is something we really need to discuss at another point, is that it appreciates in value. So that I am paying you now $100 for what is currently $100 worth of wheat. However, by the time I take delivery, it's going to be $200 worth of wheat. So when I take delivery, it means I gave you $100, you give me back $200 worth, and the missing $100 is viewed as ribis. It's what you gave me in exchange for being able to have my money all this time. It's agar not derlei. That's the fear with poskin al haperos. So what we're saying is that in the event that the price is actually set, so we know it's worth $100 now, we're okay. And what we're doing is we're really viewing it, it sounds like we're viewing it as like a yeshlo thing. What we're saying is that, we view it as though the person who paid the money acquired the produce now, and it was just sitting in the house of the seller. And then the Mishnah says, and even if the seller doesn't actually have the produce, that's okay because it's available. Once you hit Yatza Hashar, once there's a price for it, there must be merchandise available. I'm not going into the whole poskin al haperos thing, but you need to know that in order to just understand the Mishnah and Gemara. So, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ein poskin al hashar shebashuk. Rabbi Asi quotes Rabbi Yochanan to say, you are not allowed to be posek based on the going rate that's in the marketplace, meaning the local marketplace. He doesn't like the local market price. As we'll see, the concern is that it fluctuates a lot. It's not considered a fixed price. So Rabbi Zera says to Rashi, he says Rabbi Yochanan says even the Dormus Shar, which is a whole other Shar, the only reason I mention it, I'm not going into what the Shar is because of the words that come after that. Amar Leilo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Ela Beshuk Shel Ayaros Elo Kvi'i Tarayu. Rabbi Yochanan's objection is the Shuk in the marketplace, meaning the local market, because it's not Kavua, because it fluctuates. Amar of Sheshes, Amar of Huna in Lovan al Shar Shebashuk. Sheshes quotes Rav Huna not liking this Shar Shebashuk, this local Shar. Amar le Rabbi Yosef bar Chama le Rav Sheshes, va Amri la Rabbi Ab Rabbi Yosef bar Abba le Rav Sheshes. Umi Amar of Huna Hachi, does Rav Huna really say that you're not able to borrow against the Shar Shebashuk? Va boy mi name Rav Huna, but didn't they ask Rav Huna the following question? Hani b'nei bei Rav, the yeshiva guys in Beis Medrash, the Yazvi b'Tishrei upari b'Teves, who borrow in Tishrei and they pay back in Teves, Shariyo Asir, is that allowed? And right now, I don't know what we're talking about. If you don't know what we're talking about, you're in good shape because we made a right turn in the middle of this discussion. In the beginning, we talked about poskin al haperos, but once we hit Rav Sheshes quoting Rav Huna, we stopped talking about poskin al haperos. We said ein lovin. We don't borrow against the Shar Shebashuk. But that's different from poskin al haperos. So the question is, what does lovin mean? There's some kind of a loan I'm not allowed to engage in against the Shar in the market. And then Rabbi Yosef bar Chama or Rabbi Yosef bar Abba says to Sheshes, I can't believe you when you say that you're not allowed to borrow against the Shar. After all, didn't we have this question that was asked about them doing just such a thing, borrowing in Tishrei and paying back in Teveit? And the question was asked, and Amar lo, and he replied, don't worry about it. Hachiti behini v'hachiti b'shili, there's wheat available all these places. They could buy it and then pay back. So I don't know what we're talking about. I don't know what this loven thing is. It clearly involves wheat, because you're talking about buying wheat in order to pay back. But I don't actually know what this means. So Rashi, in Source Mem Vav, gives two explanations. Ein loven al shar shabashuk. Ani shamati, he says, I've heard. Ein loven mos bederech halva. It actually just means a normal loan. That's it. And then, obviously not just normal loan, because there's an ellipsis there, I skipped stuff, because I wanted to get to the halachos gedolos, the second explanation. Uva halachos gedolos mefarish, ein lovin sa'ah bisa'ah, al smach shar shebashuk. That you're not allowed to do a loan of sa'ah bisa'ah, we've been talking about the commodity exchange, you're not allowed to do that based on a local market's price, such that I would argue, since there's wheat available in these various places, I would treat it like Yeshlo, essentially. Like a loan of Sa'abasa, where I have stuff, but I'm waiting for my kid to show up, I'm waiting for the, to find the key. So what Rashi says is going on in this Gemara, quoting the Bahag, is that we're talking about Sa'ah B'Sa'ah, and we are not accepting local market. Right? We're not accepting the local market Sha'ar. However, what that does tell me is that he would be willing to approve Sa'ah B'Sa'ah if it were broader than the local market price, if it were the Medina's price. You follow? If there is a price available in the Medina for whatever this commodity is that I am borrowing, then I am allowed to engage in sa'ah b'sa'ah.
And the big market doesn't fluctuate?
Apparently, well we're going to see more about this, but that's what it sounds like right now. It does not fluctuate to the same extent as a local market, which makes sense just from an economics perspective. In other words, in the same way that there's higher volatility in the market when there's a lower volume of trading, right, in stocks, you're more likely to have a higher volatility. The same thing is going to be true when you're dealing with commodities nationwide. The market is able to absorb the shocks of big purchases, and people who are looking to buy will always find stuff, as opposed to in the local market, where I come in, I'm making a bar mitzvah, and I suddenly need to buy a lot of stuff. There isn't that much stuff in the market. The price is going to spike. I try to do that on a national scale. It's not going to affect it. There are too many other factors and too many other mini markets that are feeding into the major one for it to change the price in the entire country. That would be my rudimentary economic understanding. Go ahead, Jerry.
No, I mean it'll depend on the weather. It'll depend that which is like a macro sort of thing.
But that affects the local markets also. Weather will affect local markets too.
Yeah, so I'm saying they'll be...
But to a greater extent than it will on the national scale. Anytime you're working with national... I mean, it's just logical. Right. It's harder to move a national market than it is to move a small local one. So so what we're saying is, if you have a serious shahr, then you're allowed to engage in sa'ah b'sa'ah. So the question is, why? So the Beis Yosef says something based on what we already saw in Rashi. Right? It sounds an awful lot like Yeshlo. Right? Rashi said, we are comparing it to Ad Shiavo Bini Ad Shem Tzemavteach. Right? So the Beis Yosef in Mem Zayin says, V'tanai Heter, the logic behind this permission is, Kefima Shapirish Rashi Shon, like Rashi said, Humishum Dekevan Deshchichi Chiti Lemizben, since you can get the stuff, Medminon Le La Omer Havini Ad Shiavo Bini Ad Shem Tzemavteach, I treat it like the case of Yeshlo. Right? That's the idea. The fundamental principle is what the Gedule Truma said. We saw it already before, so I didn't reproduce it here, when we talked about Yeshlo, which is you convert the loan into Mekach u'Memkar. The loan is no longer a loan. The lender is the person who lends the money is buying the produce now. That's the way that we look at it. So when I, effectively, when I lend you a sa'ah of wheat, I am acquiring a sa'ah of wheat from you already.
Because it also can go up and down, right?
No, nothing to do with it. It will not go up and down. And that's part of the principle, is what we're really doing, and this is something we're going to have to come back to and say more explicitly, but what we're really doing is saying that Yatsa Hashar is code. Yes, I don't really care about the fact that there is a price. But because there is a price, I now know that commodities are available. Chiti bihini, chiti bishili. All I really care about is the availability of the goods, not the fact that there is a price. According to this, this is another way to say Yeshua. And if you'll tell me it's redundant, I will say it's not redundant, because no one said Yetzah Hashar in the original conversation. It's only this mission about Poskin Haperos, and we are borrowing it. But it really is a function of, it's really part of what we already said under Yeshlo. Adam.
It is really true that it sounds like market fluctuation shouldn't matter at all. So why is the Gemara so preoccupied with this side of the market? And that's as long as right now there's a price and it's available,
yeah.
It doesn't matter.
This is a very difficult read for that reason. Why did you bother to say that? And let me ask the question the opposite way, though. If it really is, you know, is this really the same thing as Yeshlo? Not everybody believes that it is. The Ravid, quoted in the Rush, says, yes, it's like Yeshlo. Absolutely. If you take a look at Memches, the Rush quotes the Ravid, saying, "Ravid zakasa hadalov and sa'avis al-shar shabashuk alfa pisha einalo." Right, we are allowing him to do it when there is a market for it, even though there is no, even though he owns none. Haynu davka kisheyesh lelove hadamim sheyachol liknos min hashuk. It's only if the borrower has the money to buy it. V'havi kimo sheyeshlo, and so I treat it like yeshlo. Avaleinlo, but if he has no money, asur dehav mefarish time hachite bechini hini hachite b'shili. This stuff is around and available, and so on. So the Ravid actually believes it's like yeshlo to the point where if you don't have cash, then you're out. All this really is yeshlo with a footnote that you only need to have the money. The view that we essentially showed was controversial last week is reappearing according to the Ravid cited in the Rush. As a matter of fact, it's even more relaxed than Yeshlo. And the Rush himself goes even further. In Source Mem Test, look at this. They allow you, once there's this this price, they will allow you to engage in this, even the local market. Shar, just like they permit Yeshlo. Unlike the Ravid, you don't even need to have money. Yachalu likach peros be'ashra'i, because you could buy the produce on credit, kevin sheyatza ashar, once there's a price for it, oh, yavo mechavero, or you could borrow from somebody else, meaning you could borrow the produce. I saw somebody say that this meant you could borrow the money, but that's flat out wrong. It doesn't mean you could borrow the money, that makes no sense. It means you could borrow the actual produce. That's what it's talking about. The Shar Deya, though, asks a question. He says, in that case, the Gemara's wording is wrong. And I am basing the base. Because it emphasized that he could have bought and repaid now, right? But that's not the reason. The reason is Birshusei Eiker. That's what it should have said. The Shar Deya asks this question. I brought it in Source Nun. He says, Amna makati kashali tuva lefi divrei Arash v'ani mukayotzei v'siyatam desvirlu diyatza shar chashiv ki yeshlo. Right? He says, I don't understand within that view that says that it's like yeshlo. Imkin maikamar b'shas atam v'lovan al shar shabashuk mishum tohachite b'hini v'achite b'shili iboi zavni upari. Why are you saying it's because the person who borrowed could have bought the goods and paid back now? That's not the reason. The reason is, as I bolded in the next line, "Biyeshlo atam mishum demei achshav elu shebiyado niknim lamalve ukshelukru b'shusalukru." It's because it went up in value in his possession, so he doesn't like it for that reason. Yeah.
I don't really understand the question.
Why?
Because the point is, we know that even Yeshlo is not really because it's in his rishus. All the Gemara is saying is, since you can buy it, it's as though
accessible,
you have it.
Accessible.
Right.
That's the whole point of the
but it's not the same thing as Bishusei Eiger. The difference is that if I take the view as stated that it's because he could get the stuff, then what I'm really saying is, and therefore there would be no ribis. It's really a tzad echad b'ribis argument. You could have avoided ribis.
That was your question, Mr.
Sorry?
That was your question.
Isn't the Gemara just stating the stage? There's a two-stage argument here. You can buy it. Since you can buy it, therefore it is like Yeshua. So why is that a problem? It's stating the first part of it, not the second part.
No, because Yeshua is really applicable, even if he doesn't have the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right? Even if he only has some fraction of it.
Okay.
So, isn't Yeshlo, what's the difference between Yeshlo, where I have one sa'ah and that's good enough for me to borrow 100 sa'ah, and Yeshlo, where what I'm saying here, which is it's available in the marketplace, and therefore it's as though I have 100 sa'a.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, so what is the problem?
Oh, but because the logic that's being stated is not the logic of he could have bought and repaid, and now I understand what you're asking.
Right.
It's not he could have bought and repaid now, and therefore Birshuse Eiger. We actually view them as two different things. He's viewing this as two different arguments, not as one which leads to the other.
So all I'm saying is you could have
sandwiched them. So the second approach is the Shardaya's approach. The Shardaya floats the idea that the permission here is that you could, since Yatzah Hashar, you could buy and pay back now and avoid ribis. Now, he's not saying the same thing as Sarecha Beribis with this. He distinguishes. He's going to end up saying both. But look at what he says in source Nun Aleph. He says, Ve'efshar lomar, the Svira Leila Hashas, de Behalvas Sa'ab Sa'ab lo Mechshav ki yesh lo Afsha Yatza Hashar, Kevan Shinna Nosein Lomos. Ela kevan di iboi zavni upari kodem she yisyakruv lo merze karibis kule hai. He says, since if you wanted to, right? Kevan di iboi, since if you wanted to, zavni upari kodem she yisyakruv, you could buy and pay back before it goes up in value. Velo merze karibis kule hai. It doesn't look so much like ribis. Because you could have paid back now with wheat. It doesn't look like you stipulated that you're going to give a larger amount. Hey, Kelu Chazal, but see what Shnei Atzamim Yacha. Therefore, they said, all right, so we'll combine Yeshlo and Yatzah Hashar and turn them into a one big bubble. Yes?
I forget the Hazy Timsa sort of. Obviously, if I could do all this, then why am I boring this? What was the answer to that? I mean, if the whole theory is.
You're talking about Yeshlo?
Yeah.
So the answer is either, we talk about where you even have a smaller percentage of it, or you have it and it's not ready yet. Right? We talked about the possibility.
That was
part of it, or it's not accessible, or I need to use it for a loan as a, I need to have a lien on it for a loan. There are all sorts of reasons
and yet
why.
You're using the argument that it is accessible.
Because it's good enough.
Because
it's good. Because remember what we said over and over again last week. We're makil on sa'ah b'sa'ah.
Okay.
Because the whole thing is.
But it is a bit.
Yes. No, I understand what you're saying. Now I wondered if this wasn't what the Rashba meant, quoted in the Beis Yosef. The Rashba said something that I found perplexing in source Nun Beis. What happened was, one of the audio shiurim that I downloaded on my long drive to New York was a shiur given at YU on ribis and sa'ah b'sa'ah specifically. And this person who was giving the shiur gave an unusual explanation of what yatzah hashar means. He said yatzah hashar means that once there's a market price, we assume it's not going to change. Sorry. That once Yatzah Hashar, that means that we assume it's not going to change, and that's my basis for Heter. And I couldn't find anyone who explained the Gemara that way. The only one I found who maybe says that is the Rashba, but I don't think that's what the Rashba is saying either. Take a look at source Nun Beis.
Isn't that the argument of the Hindi and Shili?
No, that just means that there's stuff available. It doesn't mean the price is
going to
stay the
same. I thought it also that prices do not fluctuate.
No, it's got nothing to do with price.
I don't.
Well, I thought that's what you said at the outset.
No, I said that the shahr that you need should be a shahr with some permanence to it.
Right.
That's why we reject the one that fluctuates too much. But not that the logic behind it is where there's a known price for it, and therefore you can borrow a bagel and not think that the bagel may go up. Prices do change.
Right. Oh.
If they didn't change, then none of this would be a conversation. There would be no way to solve
this.
He said no change.
Once the price comes out, it doesn't change. So he may have meant this Rashba. I emailed him, and I haven't heard back yet. But take a look at Nun Beis. V'zelashon harashba b'tshuva. Nirali she'ein hefresh bein koveya zman le'eno koveya. He says, it appears to me that there's no difference between whether you set up a time by which it has to be repaid. I'm sorry, not by which, on which it has to be repaid. Koveya Zman means you say, I'm borrowing from you on October 1st, and I'm taking delivery from you on March 1st, fixed. He says there's no difference. We're not afraid that the price is going to change in between once you have Yatza Hashar. And even if it does change, so in that intermediate period, the borrower will purchase it. So you could read the Rashba the way that he was saying. The Shar doesn't change, and even if it does, yeah, but you could buy it beforehand. But I think what he's actually saying is what the Shar Deah says. I think that's the Shar Deah who mentions this idea, I think, is building on this Rashba. He's saying that it's not really the idea that this thing doesn't change. What it really is the fact that you could end up buying the goods before it fluctuates. I think that's the emphasis.
That's the second thing he says.
Right, but I think that's really what he meant. In other words, Yatza Hashar means I have a price right now that's set, which could well stay the same. And even if it doesn't, but right now you could buy it. I think that's really the focus. Just because no one else makes this statement that we don't expect the thing to change, that's what makes me really troubled by it. And the fact that if he really meant that, then you wouldn't need the second half of the statement.
He's arguing that the point that he's coming against is the Rambam's view that you have to have the reason why you can't be Kovei Azman is because there has to be an ability to buy the thing right away after you start the
Rambam. Right.
So at the very least, he must be admitting that I'm not worried for a certain period of time. I don't care about Kovei Azman because I don't care that you can't, you're not going to be able to be repaid right now because for sure for a while the Shtar will stay the same. Even if he's not right.
I mean, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about that issue. But the Shar Deya himself thinks that this is Dochak. He does not like this idea, as you saw in the previous source. The Bris Yehuda actually thinks it's Pshat. He thinks that that's why Yatza Hashar works. He thinks that not the business. The Bris Yehuda is in Yud Zayin Ha'arah Mem Dalet, not because the price won't change immediately, but because you could always buy some until it fluctuates, and therefore it's again this sort of yesh lo amplified. You could get some and avoid it.
Because you have a choice.
Yeah, you have the opportunity. Correct. Yesh chazdem. Yesh chazav sharut. The third approach, which is what the Shar Deah likes, he says this is simply tzarech beribis, but better. In source Nun Gimel, the Lulei Divrei Hakadmonim Zal Hayisi Omer. With all due respect, the Iker Taima the Lovin Al Shar Shebeshut.
I'm not saying this, but I really am.
Yes, Lulei de Mistafina. He says Hayisi Omer the Iker Taima the Lovin Al Shar Shebeshut. Kevan the Iboi Zavniu Pari Kodim Shemishtana Shar Havitzarecha Beribis. This is Sarecha Beribis. Now, you will recall that in my previous year, we said Sarecha Beribis is not allowed. He says, this is Sarecha Beribis. Remember what Sarecha Beribis was? Engaging in a transaction in which there are two possible outcomes, or multiple possible outcomes, not all of which are Ribis outcomes. So, I'm going to borrow money from you with a condition that, in the event that I ever sell my field, I'm going to sell it to you. But I don't have to ever sell my field, and then it won't ever have this outcome. The at the tzarecha beribis came along to us, sir. He says, "Yeah, I know we don't allow tzarecha beribis. Mikom makom, but here it's better. Hacha ika sfeke tuva. Here we have additional doubts, meaning it's a really small tzad for ribis because dilma la yishtana hashar. Maybe the price won't change. The avim yishtana dilma yifra mikodem, and even if it does, he might pay earlier." But then he brings you this Rashba. So now I'm completely confused as to what he's doing with this idea and how he understands the Rashba. But that's not the only thing that confuses me in the sugya. The truth of the matter is that every time I read the Shar Deah, including right now, I come back asking, why did he say the other answer was Dochak if he was just going to rephrase it as his final answer? It really doesn't sound like there's a difference between the answer he gave before and this one now. He almost said, no. He's saying almost the same thing. And then he says, but by the way, we're only making for this with halvasa abisa'a. Kaven de the gabe malva leka ribis klal. Then he says, but it's only sa'abisa'a that we're going to be lenient like this with because there's no real ribis happening. Why? Because as we said in the Gemara last week, he could have just kept his stuff. And had he kept the stuff and never lent it out, then it would have appreciated in his possession. So therefore, we're going to be more lenient, as opposed to singing the theme song of it's only a derabbanan and therefore we're mekil. This is a roundabout way of saying the same thing. So the Shar Deah likes the idea that it's tzad echad beribis, but it's better than tzad echad beribis. Because there really isn't any ribis happening at all, because he could have just kept his stuff.
Maybe the differences were in the first version of the answer, we really weren't worried that the char was going to change, but that we really were certain that he would be able to buy it before the price went up. And now he's just saying all those things are just spekos. They're just spekos.
But it always has to be a suffake.
I agree with that.
I'm very unclear on the difference between 2 and 3. I did my best to try to differentiate, but I'm not clear on it. Except that number 2 ends up with Dochak and number 3 ends up with it. I think this is correct. Okay. Approach number 4, the last of the approaches, is the Meiri. And the Meiri does have a radical idea. Because Meiri. Nun Dalid. Kol sheyatza hashar, libo samach al oso shar, ve'eno mechavein l'shum revach. He says, we're reading the mind of the Malveh, and we care what the Malveh is thinking. Since there is a known rate, the Malveh doesn't expect the Shahr to change, and therefore, he doesn't intend to receive interest. Beis Yosef also quotes this this idea. There are two major differences between approaches 1 to 3 and approach number 4. And this is going to come back to the point about paying immediately. The number 1, according to approaches 1 through 3, it really isn't about having a shahr at all. It's about the stuff being available. That's all I care about, right? If it's available, then I could have bought it and given it to him now, right? If it's available, it's the tzad echad beribis. If it's available, it's whatever the shardaya was saying in number 2. If it's available, then I'm good. And indeed, the Bris Yehuda in Yud Zayin Ha'ara Memfav, the Torah's ribis in Yud Zayin, no, it's not, it should be Zayin, Ha'ara Chavches, and the Birur Halacha in the Torah's ribis, Yud Zayin, no, it is Yud Zayin, Yud Beis, they all seem comfortable with that. They're all good with that with that idea that it's fact. We don't actually care if there's a set price or not. That's just a substitution for the stuff's available. Whereas according to approaches 1 to 3, the ability to repay now is crucial. The fact that you could pay back now is really important in order for you to avoid the possibility of being held until the price changes. You have to be able to pay back now, which explains why the Rama says that Yatzah Hashar doesn't work if there is a fixed time for repayment. Yeah?
Is that true for 3 also, for this pseudo-Rashba view? I mean, the point of the Rashba himself is to say, I don't care about Kedivah's mind.
Right.
Because of these reasons.
Right. So, but if I take the view that it's Sadechad Ribbis, because you could repay now before appreciation, you could still say, well, maybe it won't appreciate before the fixed time that we set. Right, maybe. Maybe. It might be able to fit even with the Meiri, if we say that having a fixed time for repayment indicates that the lender has a desire for profit. But that's a reach, I think. What does Yatzah Hashar look like? What exactly is Yatzah Hashar anyway? So it doesn't need to be a precise price. I'm looking at the time and wanting to leave some time for you today. So I'm gonna speed up with this. I didn't say 20. So what does Yatzah Hashar look like? So first of all, it doesn't need to be a precise price. The Laharos Nasan, Rav Nasan Gishtetner, I brought it for you in Nunvav, says a range is fine. You just need to know what the price range is. That's already sufficient. So if you know that it's somewhere between this zuz and that zuz, 50 zuz, 60 zuz, whatever it is, that's good enough. He doesn't say how narrow it has to be. The Nesiva Shalom seems to agree with him in Kuf Ayin Hey, Beis Yud Zayin, although I have to say I wasn't entirely clear on his conclusion there. But a range is okay. Doesn't say how narrow the range has to be. According to the Bris Yehuda,
no longer are we talking about small amounts.
Right.
Why?
That would be the answer then.
Yes.
Because it would get me out of the problem.
Right.
I would say, what?
Right.
Okay.
So now,
these changes in price, even they are
they can be
large amounts.
Yeah, in a chanami.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
According to the Bris Yehuda, in Chavdalid Ha'ara Chavav, and the Laharos Nasan in that tshuva, based on the Beis Yosef, the defining shahr is wherever that population shops. Even if it's a nearby city as opposed to that town, In other words, I live in a small hamlet and there's a big mall in the nearby town and that's where everybody goes, then that's what defines Yatza Hashar. The Beis Yosef in Kufay, and hey, I brought it for you in Source Nun Zayin, is the source for that, quoting the Yerushalmi on Yatza Hashar B'Tveria. What about if you have a local shar which isn't accepted beyond this area? That case that the Gemara in Ayin Beis was talking about. So according to the Rif, and therefore according to the Rambam as well in Malva Loba Tes Dala, which I brought you in Nunches, we won't accept it. Right? You see Nunches, Ein Poskin al Shar Shalei Aros, Mimdesh Ein Ashar Kavua, El al Shar Shem Medina. You need to have something that's accepted nationwide. However, Samach Gimel Amid Aleph seems to have Rava say that you can use the Shar Shebashuk, right? Nuntes, Source Nuntes. Ama Rava, Poskin al Shar Shebashuk, Afal Pisha, Elo. So it seems very clear that we're okay with the local shuk.
I don't understand. But yeah. If you think that you need opportunity to buy,
yeah.
If you have one day, it's opportunity. Even the Shar itself, Kavua, you have one day, you can buy or not.
Right.
What is the difference if you have one day? 2 weeks or months?
Assuming I take the view that the reason why Shar Shebashuk works is because I could purchase it, then the answer is I won't even have one day if there is no known Shar.
No, after they have known Shar, that's not Kavua. You know a Shar, you know they have a Shar, it's not Kavua. Okay, for one day it's going to be, you can buy
it, you
have money.
How do you know? There's no price set out there. Remember, this goes back to our discussions in Ona about Roman markets and what was going on in the Gemara. Meaning, you either had a fixed price where the Roman said, this is what you're charging and you're not going anywhere beyond that, or you have no Shar, in which case I could charge you $10 and he could charge you $100.
No,
who's to say you're going to find it at this rate?
No, we don't mean that you're Sasha.
You're talking about the Shuk Shalei Arot that they're not accepting.
Yeah.
So I guess because you need to be Koveya Gvul, and what we're saying is that this is not called a Shar. That's the way they're looking at it. Because it's open to change,
then
it's not called a Shar at all.
If the issue is that I need opportunity to buy it, and you have opportunity, you can use it, you cannot, you can buy it, not, it's your decision.
Right.
Then one day it's enough to say,
but,
okay, you have it.
But no, we're not calling, we're saying that's not a real Shar.
Because you're not buying, you cannot buy
Why isn't this like where you set the price? One of the ways out of this was if you set the price, right?
Right.
And by sticking to a market, you set the price.
You set your personal price.
Well, you have a set price.
Only if I'm osed on them. In other words, you asked me to lend you a kur of wheat. I said, here's the livery of a kur of wheat for you.
Yeah.
When did we ever set a price?
No, but if there's a market, we're saying that we look at the market.
Yeah.
That without even talking about it, we do look at the market.
To see, is there a price for wheat?
Does poskin mean you have to actually...
Oh, poskin ala peiros. Well, this isn't the poskin ala peiros case.
So it's not.
No. Rava in Samach Gimel says it's talking about poskin ala shar, but that's what I'm going to come back to.
Poskin means that you actually pay?
Poskin actually means I pay him based on the current market rate, correct. I thought you were talking about a Lovin case. Poskin, yes. Yes.
You pay it, though.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what happened in a Poskin case. So, but you don't peg it to the extent of Asa Adamim. In other words, I say to you, the garden.
I'm saying, but isn't it along that continuum?
No, because you deliberately don't.
Continuum?
You deliberately do not. In other words, I say to you, it costs $100 for a bushel. Here's $1,000. I get 10 bushels later on. I don't say to you, I'm going to get $1,000 of wheat later on. It's deliberately not Asa Adamim. So if I had done Asa Adamim, then there would be no conversation.
Right. Well, that's what I thought. It was that continuum.
Right. So Rava says in Samach Gimel that you're posek on Shar Shebashuk, even though ain lo. On that, Rashi asks, why did you need to say that? I already had the Mishnah on Ayin Beis and Beis that talks about being posek ala peros and is there a shar? You have that. And his answer is that it could be Rava on Samach Gimel sides with the view on Ayin Beis and Beis which we saw, that says the Mishnah there requires a bigger shahr, a global shahr, not some shahr that can change. And Rava is answering and saying, no, a local short-term shahr is fine. Tosfos on Samach Gimel Amud Beis Uposkin says even Rabbi Yochanan will accept a medium-term shahr. That's the whole discussion with the Dormos and all that. The Ramah, in conclusion on this, in Sor Samach, says you can use Yesh Omer the Poskin al Shahr Shel Ayaros and Yesh LaHakel BeYisur DeRabbanan. He's willing to accept it for Sa'ah B'Sa'ah. Not necessarily for Poskin al Hashar, but certainly for Sa'ah B'Sa'ah, for which we are more Mekil, he's willing to accept the short-term Shahr of the Ayaros. That's his upshot. What if the Shahr fluctuates a lot, as Sha'arim and many contemporary markets do? Rav Wozner in Shevet HaLevi, Gimel Kuf Tes, says it depends on why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't like local Shahr. I brought you a piece of it in Sor Samach Aleph, but I'll explain it outside. He's dealing with a currency question. His question is, if you're in Israel and you're buying dollars, and we view dollars as a commodity, or not borrowing, but you're borrowing or lending dollars, so the this shahr changes all the time. Right? An hour from now, I can check what the price is for dollars, for U.S. dollars, and it's going to be different from what the price is right now. So, he says, it depends on why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't like local shahr. If the reason he doesn't like it is because the borrower has to be able to buy produce at, or whatever the commodity is, at that level, right, which is what's implied by the Maharam al-Ashkar, then this fluctuation is a problem. Right? You're not necessarily going to get the price from the moment of the loan. However, if it's because I need the shahr just to be what we call a shahr chashuv, meaning that people rely on that shahr, it's not about the fact that it changes. The changing is just a symptom. This changing is what causes people not to consider it valid. But if people consider it valid, meaning that they're all willing to say, whatever it says there is what I'm going to pay, then he says, I'm good with that. And he's willing to accept it. In other words, he has a new view of why Shuk Shel Ayaros doesn't work. His new view of why the local shahr doesn't work is because people don't respect it, because it changes. But if it's something that people respect, people rely on, you go to the exchange and you say, what is it for a dollar? And you're going to make your business deals on that basis. Then he says, that's good enough. Yes?
Because often you pay back more, it's rivets, regardless of whether people want it to accept it or not.
If it goes up,
if the shahr is fluctuating, even
no. What he's saying is it's not because it's sa'ah b'sa'ah and yatsa hashar.
But it's clear from all the cases of yatsa hashar that the point of yatsa hashar is either that I could buy it for the current price right now, or I could get it for the current. I could get it at the current rate right
yeah.
now, whatever.
Right. And he's saying as long as there is an existing rate which people respect, that's good enough.
Even if it only lasts for 1 second.
Even if it only lasts for 1 second. And he's willing to rely on it. You look at the Shevet HaLevi there.
I've asked this before, but I don't get it. When you have a very fluctuating market, it may go down. It may go up, it may go down. Either side could make money. And why is that not Mecha Chomemka?
So I'm going to come back to that. Hold that thought. I have one more note on this, and then I'm going to say that, and that's my last piece. So just one last note in terms of Yatsa Hashar. We said, regarding Yeshlo, that the Taz needs them to know about the Heter, ideally. Right? They need to know there is such a Heter, and to know that the fellow has some of the produce, so that there's no intent for Ribis. What about Yatsa Hashar? Do they have to know that there's a going rate? Do they have to know that there's a heter of a going rate? So there are three possibilities. The Rosh quoted in the Beis Yosef in Kuf Samach Beis, which I brought you in Source Samach Beis, says that no, or indicates that no knowledge is necessary. Right? You don't need to know anything. You could also say that, like the Taz, who said that ideally we need them to know because we don't want them to intend ribis. They don't have to know what the shahr is. They just have to know that there is a shahr and that there is such a heter because they shouldn't be intending ribis. However, according to the Meiri's explanation of how yatsa hashahr works, that the point is that the lender says, I don't think it's going to change, and therefore he doesn't intend ribis. It's a firm requirement. Meiri's logic only works. According to the Meiri's argument, yatsa hashahr is only effective if he knows that there actually is a shahr. He still doesn't need to know what it is, but he needs to know that there is a shahr. You follow? For more on that, see the Bris Yehuda, Yudzayin Ha'ar Memches. But I think that was an interesting point. One last note, which I think speaks to Jerry's point. Even with the heterim, we will require that your deal be karov l'sachar u'lehefsed. It isn't sufficient that it's a commodity for commodities alone. You have to have the possibility, the lender has to have the possibility of losing. The Rivash is the one who shows this. The Rivash asks the following question. Rivash, Simon Yates, I brought it on your sheet. I brought just the question, but I'll phrase it outside. What if you cut a deal with a borrower? You say this, I'm going to lend you a sa'a. You will pay me back either the product, the sa'ah, or its cash value from the time of the loan, as I choose. So if sa'ah goes up in value, you're going to pay me a sa'ah. If sa'ah goes down in value, you're going to pay me the cash of what it was worth right now. Can you do that and still call it sa'ah b'sa'ah? So the idea is that in the event that I choose cash, then we view this as a sale with delayed payment. Right? It's as though I saw a dummy. Right now, it's $100 worth of wheat, so you'll pay me $100. And if I choose the goods, then it's a loan for which the saw did not increase in value. Right? That's the idea. So, or did increase. The Rivash deals with the case in terms of a community. The community wanted wheat, and some guy sold it with this arrangement. And the Rivash says that's no good. Because even with the heterm of sa'ah b'sa'ah, like yeshla or shar, we still require that it be karov l'sachar u'lehefsid, which this is not. It has to be karov l'sachar u'lehefsid. So here's a question. The Tosfos in Bava Kama, and then Tzadi Zayin Amad Aleph, I brought it for you here in Samach Dalet, it goes over on Talmud Beis, says that if you lend money with a condition that it should be repaid with accepted currency, right? I lend you money with an agreement that it's going to be repaid with an acceptable currency. Then if the loan currency is disqualified, I lend it to you in Canadian dollars, right? And then they do something, and the Canadian dollar is now disqualified. So then you have to use another coin. That's what Tosa says, because that's what the stipulation. Why isn't that like the wheat? Why isn't that just like the wheat? I said, you're going to have to pay me back either wheat, or if wheat goes down in value, I'm going to demand that you pay me back cash. I am protecting myself. It's no longer karov l'sachar u'lehefsid. So the Gidulei Truma, Mem Vav Hey Aleph, answers, it's quoted in the Bris Yehuda, Yudzayin Ha'ara Tezayin, in the coin case, the seller slash lender is just using his choice to preserve the amount that he lent. In the coin case. In the standard sa'ah b'sa'ah case, you're allowed to make a profit if wheat goes up in value and you choose wheat. That's what it enables you to do. In other words, there's a difference between preserving what you have, which is what happens in the currency case, and profiting, which is what occurs if you say, I can choose either cash or commodity. The problem is trying to make a profit that we're against. Yeah.
The original currency is still with the value. How do you know what amount of the new currency you're supposed to be paid back?
I guess you're going based on back to the time of the loan. You have to trace back to what it was worth in that new currency at the time of the loan.
But it didn't exist.
The new currency didn't exist, then you're out of luck.
From old shekels to new shekels.
Right, then you're out of luck. Then go have a suvita together.
Couldn't you say in this case that anytime you're lending money, the currency, expectations that you're being paid back in the currency, and so if the currency in the place changes during the time of the loan, that should automatically.
But they were on a gold standard.
They're on a metal standard anyway.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
It's a bit different.
Right? I mean, we're assuming there's a Mefe Yosebot Tamachim, which is the Mefe of Rehoboth's Ribbis.
Right. So in order to really go through this, we have to go through Shinoi Matveya, really. And see more about that, which I'm not going to be doing. There's another answer from the Beis Ephraim, Yerodea Mem Gimel, but I think I'm going to stop here because otherwise you're going to say nothing today. So there is, if you look in the Beis Ephraim, Yerodea Mem Gimel, you'll see more about it. But that concludes Sa'ah B'Sa'ah, and with the discussion of Yad Sashar, but there's also note that it has to be Karv L'Sachar U'Lehefsid.